Hi there. Here's an email I got recently from Martha. She wrote, I don't understand. I'm getting conflicting answers. Does he love me? I get increase, decrease. Will we end up together? I get return, splitting apart. I ask, I don't understand. I will wait forever if he loves me. I get preponderance of the small and preponderance of the great. I'm so lost. Thank you. From Martha. The first thing I thought when I read this was, oh no, here's someone else who's asked the oracle too many questions, and the conversation's just broken down, and she no longer knows what the oracle is talking about, and it's no longer responding to the questions she's asking, and so on. But I can't tell for sure whether that's what's happened. One thing I can say for sure, though, and that's that ye can't always predict the outcome for you. Not when that outcome depends on people's choices. And I'm sorry, but looking at the answers Martha tells me about there, I can't bring a single answer out of that lot either. The feeling I get is that there isn't a single answer there to be had. It looks as if the scene is changing constantly, and the readings, they're kind of like snapshots that you take from the window of a fast-moving train. It's different every time you look. One thing I did notice, though, and that's that the examples she gives, they're paired hexagrams. 41 and 42, 23 and 24, and those are like the opposite sides of a single coin. Increase is the beginning of decrease, and decrease is the beginning of increase. It makes it sound like that train might be moving in circles. So, what can Martha do to get less lost? How can ye help with something like this? I think I've kind of made it clear what it can't do. It can't predict what someone will choose. At least, it can show you which way someone's leaning in the moment when you ask the question, but that's not the same thing. Also, it can't make a muddled situation clear. If it's muddled, then you're going to get a very realistic picture of the muddle. And that's especially true and kind of obvious when you try to look into someone else's mind and heart. So, what ye can do and how it can help. It can help when you shift the focus back to yourself. Listening to Margaret Pearson the other day, she was teaching a group of people who'd never cast a hexagram before to choose their question, generate moving lines and everything. And what she said to them as a basic guideline for choosing what to ask about, because of course they had no idea, was ask about something that's in your power to decide. I don't think that's an absolute rule, it's not a thou shalt, but it is a good guide, it's a good rule of thumb to make sure that your readings are going to help you, they're going to get you somewhere. So the question I'd suggest for Martha is this: what approach can Martha best take to this relationship for her greatest good and his? And I've just picked up my string of beads for consulting with, as you can probably hear, and I'm going to cast that now. So ye, what approach can Martha best take for her greatest good and his? My first line is stable yin, and moving yin, stable yang, so the inner trigram is the mountain. Another stable yang. Stable yin. I wonder if this is going to be 62. No, it's not. The top line's yang. So that's fire on the mountain. And that's hexagram 56, the wanderer. And it's changing at line 2. So that's wood in the fire. It's changing to hexagram 50, the vessel. I'll pause the recording now for a second while I look that up and think about it. So, this is the wanderer's vessel. I won't try to talk through everything about this reading in huge detail. I won't try to be comprehensive, but I'll try to give you the gist as I see it. So it begins with the Wanderer, who is one who travels through. And this is telling you that it's not a permanent relationship, in the same way that when you travel to a foreign country and stay there for a while, you don't make your home there. This is something that you're passing through. It's something on the journey. The question is whether you can gain something of lasting value on this journey. Something as solid and tangible and valuable as that vessel, which I'll talk about more in a minute. The Wanderer has to adapt as she goes. She has to do her best to fit in. She can't expect the other person or the other people to adapt and become like her. Like, you don't go to France and expect them all to start talking English, and you don't expect to become fluent in French and to think like a French person. You talked about you'd wait forever, and I think the reading is telling you not to do that. The saying you'll wait forever, it's kind of like pressing the pause button on your life, putting it on hold until someone else does something, and putting the power to make the decisions firmly over with him. And the advice for Hexagram 56 says, above the mountain is fire, the Wanderer. The Noble One is enlightened and thoughtful in administering punishments and doesn't draw out legal proceedings. I think of the fire above the mountain as like the traveller's campfire. They need to gather round it at night, and if there's anything they're embroiled in, any emotional entanglements, they need to sort it out before the fire dies down in the morning. So by the time the ashes are cooling, they have it resolved and they can move on. Whenever Yi talks about legal proceedings and administering punishments, you can take this as a metaphor for assessing what you see, taking decisions, often very tough ones, and taking the consequences and moving on. What this is saying is, don't draw out legal proceedings, don't get embroiled in something like a courtroom drama. I'm just looking up what Jack Balkin says about this line, because I know it's extremely good. I don't mean line. You mean image. Here we have it. People who are in a period of transition lack the resources to engage in a protracted struggle with others. Therefore, they do not, or they would be better off if they do not get themselves enmeshed in controversies and commitments that will exhaust their energies. Periods of transition are both dangerous and exciting. You are trying out new ideas and experiences and questioning long-held assumptions. You may well emerge from this period a different person. But because you are sailing in uncharted waters, you must be circumspect and not get into situations from which you cannot easily extricate yourself. Don't make yourself a target for exploitation by others. And that's important, I think. I don't know anything about this man at all, of course, but I think it's important not to let him imagine that he can come back to you any time and flick you on and off like a switch. So the traveller moves on, and we move on and look at the moving line. There's just the one here, it's line 2. It says the wanderer comes to a resting place, cherishes her own, gains a young vassal's constancy. This is one of the nicer lines in the hexagram. So many of them talk about self-sabotage and self-destruction and everything going up in flames and ending in horror. And this doesn't have to go that way, thank goodness. The wanderer comes to a resting place. And what you have in this relationship is somewhere you can stop a while and think. A resting place, it's like an inn. It's like a wayside inn. It's not like arriving home. But this is somewhere you can stop and draw breath and think about where you're going. The line says to cherish your own. So the question for you is, what is there in this experience to cherish? What is there you can hide in your heart when you close your eyes and feel this? What is there that you want to keep of it, that you want to hold and carry with you wherever you go? And it says the wanderer gains a young vassal's constancy. And here you have to ask, who or what is helping? Is it a person who's helping you? I don't think this means the man you are asking about, because by the sounds of it, he is not offering himself to you in loyal service, is he? But perhaps you've gained a new friend or new friends here who recognize your qualities and are drawn to you. Or perhaps what you have here is an inner helper, you're discovering your own capacities for devotion and service that you didn't know you had. Anyway, what this line is saying is to hold fast to what is of value, that you have something of substance here, and it's independent of his reactions. I know that sounds extraordinary, but the qualities within you and the qualities that are developing and changing within you as a result of this connection, those are real and solid, and those changes are real, regardless of what he does or how he responds. So, you're the wanderer, you travel through the relationship, you don't settle here, but it can be a vessel for you. The vessel is a massive, solid, beautiful, crafted bronze vessel, and there's a lot to be said about it, but the gist is that it is created to contain things while they're transformed, while they take their new shapes. This reminds me of something I read somewhere. I can't remember where for the life of me. Written by a woman who was in love, and she was so much in love that she walked around all day, every day, saying, "Oh God, I love him," and feeling that filling her the whole time. And one day she realized, you know, I'm like this when he isn't here. I'm not seeing him, I don't know what he's doing or thinking, and the love is still here and just as strong. And this isn't, I forget how she put it, but what she was saying, that it was something bigger than him and it didn't depend on him. She loved him, but that wasn't all there was to it. She just loved. I think that's all I can say. I know it's not easy to take, and I hope very much it will help.